The highest acidity in your body is really in your stomach. The pH goes down to 2. You touch that, you can get burned.
If stomach acid is strong enough to burn your hand in a moment, how does the stomach survive that acid 24 hours a day? Each organ of your body is an engineering masterpiece in itself. Even more impressive is the way that those organs are organized into an organism. Let's dissect and inspect another part of the amazing human body here on Truth in the Test Tube. After a distinguished career as professor of physiology, Dr. Charles L. Weber recently retired from Loyola University in suburban Chicago. Shortly before retiring, Dr. Weber spoke with program producer David Fisher.
The GI system or gastrointestinal system is a long tube which goes right through our body. Now, it's not a straight line shot, right? It's a crooked pathway. We chew food from the mouth, we swallow, and it goes down the esophagus, and it goes to the stomach, and then it goes to the small intestine. And then this empties into the large intestine, and then the large intestine empties into the anal region, and then we discard. So what happens is food comes in at the mouth, and then food is broken up into smaller and smaller and smaller pieces. Chew your food long and well. Not only will it taste good, but it will prohibit you from getting indigestion.
My mother used to tell me to chew everything 1,000 times.
My father said, sit at the table till I'm done. And that was 1 hour. So I would eat faster than 1 hour, but I sat there. And he would enjoy his food. So he had a point. When you eat slowly, it helps a lot. Well, in the human, the small intestine is like 20 feet long. The GI tract is critically important. And just like the lung connects the air with the blood, the GI system connects the intestinal contents with the blood. More decisions are being made when we eat food. What are the good food stuffs that we are to absorb and bring into the body? What are the bad things which we should not absorb in the first place? And secondly, what should we be secreting into the GI tract to rid it from the body? So the GI system would be the solid waste disposal system as compared to the urine.
Now, isn't the food that we eat exposed to both alkaline and acid at various parts of the body?
Yes. When we first start chewing food, there is an acidity even in saliva, which is a start of digestion. It actually starts in the oral phase, we say. The lowest pH or the highest acidity in your body is really in your stomach. The pH goes down to 2. You touch that, you can get burned. There's glands which secrete hydrochloric acid into the gastric contents, and this acid is very important, especially for proteins. It helps break down the proteins into smaller pieces. Now, when the stomach empties and puts its contents, which it's been digested partially, into the small intestine, the duodenum, all of a sudden we now get an alkalization of the chyme, and the acid from the stomach is neutralized. And it's neutralized by alkaline secretions from the pancreas. A watery, aqueous, alkaline secretion has a lot of bicarbonate in it. Think of Tums. The whole small intestine is really neutral or alkaline. It's not acidic.
So if the stomach itself is so highly acidic, why doesn't it digest itself?
Yeah, that's a great question. The stomach is self-protective because it secretes a mucus. And the mucus, which is secreted inside the stomach, coats the inside of the stomach lining so that the acid can't touch it. And so when we talk about ulcers, people say, oh, you get stress ulcers, right? That doesn't happen in the stomach. Ulcers in the stomach are really caused by a bacteria called H. pylori. And what these bacteria do is they eat through the mucus layer, like they feed on the mucus, and they make a pathway for the acid to get through to the stomach lining through the mucus, and then the acid destroys the stomach. But a lot of ulcers are because the stomach has emptied a gastric acid content into the small intestine, which the small intestine can't handle. And so your ulcers actually become small intestinal ulcers because the small intestine doesn't have that mucus protection. Didn't your grandmother say, after lunch, don't go swimming?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Okay, why?
When we are digesting food, blood, which is being pumped out of the heart, is diverted to the abdominal tract, especially the small intestine, because this is where the foodstuffs are being digested down to small particles, which are brought back into the blood. And so when we eat a meal, we have a shift of blood away from other organs to GI organs. So the idea is this: if you insist on exercising after you eat a meal, the body's getting a mixed signal. The one signal is digest your food, but the other signal is send blood to your muscles because you're swimming or you're exercising. Mm-hmm. This becomes a problem because you have decreased resistance, and then you actually have decreased blood flow to the brain itself, and then you feel a little woozy. Now, you don't want to feel woozy when you're swimming. So Grandma was right. She didn't know why she was right, but she was right.
She knew from experience.
Exactly.
Or from what her mother told her.
Remember that experiment by Pavlov back in the 1900s?
The main one I remember was with salivating dogs.
Yeah, what he did was he put a tube into the stomach and had the gastric acids drip out into a container, graduated cylinder. He would have the dog eat food, but he reconnected the esophagus from the dog so that when the dog ate, the food would fall out to a dish and not go to his stomach. Now, this is a perfect diet, right? You eat and you eat and you eat. It never goes to your stomach, and you have the enjoyment of chewing your food.
Zero calories.
Zero calories, right. So what happened was, in this experiment, he would associate an acid secretion with the dog eating, which means that when the dog ate, just the eating of food and having food in the oral cavity, and when the dog swallowed it, it went out to this dish. It never went down the esophagus all the way. It never met to the stomach. Still, the stomach secreted acid. So there's some kind of signal coming from the brain to the stomach saying, okay, food is about ready to come. Now you get ready. It never came, so the dog got this false message, but nevertheless, he secreted acid. The trick was, at the same time he gave the food to the dog, he'd ring a bell.
So it wasn't just saliva secretion, it was acid involved.
Right, well, at the stomach level, right, you get the salivation too. When you even smell food, you start to salivate. But he would associate salivation with a bell sound, associate gastric acid secretion with a bell sound, to the point where he would not give the dog food, but just ring the bell. Then the dog would salivate, and then the dog would still produce acid. So that's called a conditioned reflex. See how powerful your brain is? Your brain is so powerful that you can have these suggestions, and your body will respond physically to those suggestions. I find that really remarkable.
So we are fearfully and wonderfully made, or marvelously and wonderfully made?
Just think of the gift of taste. I call taste a gift. God has given us so many foods and given us the ability to mix and match foods. So a good chef realizes what foods mix and match together well, the importance of texture, the importance of color, and the importance of volume, and the importance of seasoning. I had a friend once who had a throat cancer, and the radiation treatment destroyed nerves coming from the tongue to the brain. And when he would taste food, roast beef would taste like dung. The signal got scrambled. And he visited our home, and my wife said, well, what can he eat? And he said, the thing that tastes the best to me is chicken soup. So we gave him chicken soup, and that was okay. Now, thankfully, nerves that were damaged by that radiation treatment for his throat cancer were healed. And they rewire. How do you like that? The brain can rewire itself. And those nerves can grow again. So when nerves get destroyed at a certain part, they can grow back.
Similar to why do we have a sense of taste is why did God give us color vision rather than make it a black and white world as far as our receptors are concerned?
Because beauty and desire speak to our hearts. God's God of variety. Look at the body shapes of all the creatures we have. Are not some very comical? There's things we haven't even discovered yet in the depths of the ocean.
He gives us all things richly to enjoy.
Yes.
The color vision, the taste buds of
touch, smell, yes. Well, to the ancients, the gastrointestinal tract was used as sort of an emotional barometer. So we know the splanchnic system, we say, I feel in my gut this or that, or I sense. And it really speaks to the fact that the human body is made up of body parts, and we've been talking about that. Part of those body parts, of course, are the gastrointestinal system. But we have things in our culture, we say, my stomach is turned in knots, or I had the wind knocked out of me. These body perceptions. The one part of our constitution, if our constitution is physical, which is the body parts, if our constitution is also mental, emotional, that's another body part. And if our constitution is spiritual, that's a third body part, we're three parts, these three major parts. The one part of the three that never lies is the body parts. We can lie to ourselves in our spirit. We can lie to ourselves in our mind and even emotions. We can cover up, but you can't cover up a stomach ache. You cannot cover up a broken leg. When your body's screaming to you, you need to go to the doctor. Obey what your body's telling you, because your body's not lying. You say, oh, my leg's okay. And you're just lying. But your body won't allow you to do that. Some people say, you know, we wear our bodies out and we don't take our Sabbath rest as God requires of us to our own health, that your disease will become your Sabbath rest.
So what you don't obey voluntarily, you obey involuntarily.
Exactly.
Okay, what closing thought do you have that would tie it together?
Well, speaking of beauty, if a person has an opportunity to see an abdominal operation where you see how the blood vessels flow into the small and large intestine, you can see these in anatomy books. It looks like a fan, and it's translucent, and it speaks of beauty. Now, when a surgeon goes in, if you have an appendix taken out, for example, we have laparoscopic surgery today, and you do it through a very small incision in the abdominal wall. You can remove the appendix. But when you're in there, you can just see how beautiful it is. And what surgeons do is they will inflate the abdominal cavity with like a gas nitrogen, so your stomach gets bloated. Now, you're anesthetized, so it doesn't hurt. But what happens is it gives them a lot of space to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can imagine a surgeon just appreciating the beauty of that. And whenever you see beauty in the body, you have to say, there's a reason for why the structures are designed like this. There's a specific reason why it looks like this, because it has a specific function. So form and function are brother, sister. They go right together.
So not just beautiful of form, but beautiful of function.
Exactly.
How does the body know which tube to send food down?
The epiglottis is a valve, which usually it's open toward the airway. So when we breathe in and out, it's always open to the trachea. The moment you take food or water, there's reflexes from your throat which flip the epiglottis the other way and opens up to the esophagus. Very fast.
Fearfully and wonderfully made.
Exactly.
Beautifully, wonderfully made.
Dr. Charles L. Weber is sharing thoughts and insights from a lifetime of studying the structure and function of the human body and sharing his knowledge with medical students. We thank him for passing some of that knowledge along to us. If you want to share today's program with a friend, encourage him to look up Truth in the Test Tube in Google. You can also listen to previous programs the same way, Googling Truth in the Test Tube. And be sure to join us again here on Truth in the Test Tube.